Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Libion podcast. My name is Jacqueline, and this week I am super excited because we are continuing the series that we have been doing. Dr. Vanderpool is joining me again today, and this week we are going to be talking about how to seek the kingdom of God in our Living Missional series. So, Dad, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So, what are we going to talk about today?
Today is a great topic. It's one of my favorites, in fact. It's a well-known passage in Matthew 6:33. We're going to talk about seeking the kingdom, seeking the kingdom of God, and really what that means and maybe what it doesn't mean. So we can look at that, see how that affects the way we live missionally.
Mm-hmm. So how does this tie in to living missionally?
Well, I think that's a great question. You know, Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided to you." And I think that's a wonderful passage. It says a whole lot about what God does for us, mm-hmm. how we operate in this world, how we depend on him. And these are real keys for being able to live missionally, live in a way that we are supporting the Great Commission of going into all the world and preaching the gospel. And starting locally, of course, our neighbors are important, starting locally with our quest to bring the gospel to all the world. One of the things that I think is really neat is how this particular passage in Matthew 6:33 connects with the whole Sermon on the Mount. In fact, I really think it is a great summary statement for the Sermon on the Mount, and that backs up all the way back to Matthew 5. In the first part of Matthew 5, it talks about the type of people who are in the kingdom of God. And this is a list of people, attributes that these people have, that's not really something that many of us want to be like. This is an interesting group of people who are in the kingdom of God and are blessed by God. And if we look at this list, this is Matthew 5, starting in verse 3, the poor in spirit, the poor in spirit. You know, we think about somebody who is poor in spirit. That's somebody who's really downcast, somebody who's really oppressed, somebody who really does, the world is a foreign place for them. And I think this is a great beginning of the understanding of the attributes of the people who are seeking the kingdom of God. Mm. You know, we see this a lot in Haiti. We see people who are so amazingly destitute. They have been destitute for generations. They have very few clothes. They only have maybe a hut that's made out of mud. Maybe it has a stick roof. So when it rains, they get wet. When the sun shines, they get hot. When there's a hurricane, their entire house blows down. When there's an earthquake, they lose everything. And so these are the people that he's talking about. He's talking about the poor in spirit. But he says they're blessed. Mm-hmm. You know, that really sort of sounds funny to us, because we would say, oh my, you know, the movie stars, you know, the rock stars, they're blessed, right? Because they have all the money, they have the big houses, they're immune to these same kind of things that this Haitian person we were talking about has. And so we think opposite of this, mm-hmm. that the poor in spirit, they must not be blessed. I mean, otherwise, why are they poor in spirit, right? But I think this really highlights the dichotomy of what God's talking about. Because, you know, there's different kingdoms out there. Mm-hmm. And we choose which kingdom we're going to support. If we are going to seek the kingdom of God, then that's a very specific thing. However, if we're going to seek our own kingdom, if we're going to build our own kingdom, we're going to live in a way that shows that we're the king, then that's a completely different story. And I think that this dichotomy right here, this is sort of a fork in the road, so to speak, of how we can live missionally is by seeking God's kingdom, not seeking our own. And those who are poor in spirit really understand that, because they in no way, form, or fashion would be understood to be seeking their own kingdom when they live in a mud hut. However, here in the States, it's a whole different story. I read a quote last night that I thought was very interesting, and it was from a man from India. And he says, "I want to come to the United States because I hear that the poor are overweight in the United States." What he's used to is the poor starving to death. And so we in our country, even the poor are well off in our own country. It's a phenomenal thing. But being poor in spirit, I think, is one of the key attributes of someone who seeks the kingdom of God, because they do not have anything close to what that is. And it says the poor in spirit are blessed. And then it says how they're blessed. And this is great, because it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is theirs." The kingdom of heaven is theirs. They're not getting a kingdom here on the earth, right? But they are saying that the kingdom of God is theirs. So what an amazing thing to think about, this dichotomy, this thing that doesn't even make sense to us. It's completely antithetical to our thinking, that if we are poor in spirit, then we are seeking the kingdom of God and we will attain it. Isn't that amazing?
That's so good.
Well, you know, if we want to look at these Beatitudes, I mean, they're very well known. They're something that we've understood for a long time. They just list the type people, the attributes of the people who are seeking the kingdom of God. The next one after poor in spirit are those who mourn are blessed. So those who mourn, why would we mourn here on earth? Obviously, things are not going our way. Perhaps we're sick. Perhaps we've lost loved ones. Perhaps we've been injured and we're in pain. Perhaps we have nothing to eat. Perhaps our children are destitute. That's a reason to mourn. But this is the kind of attribute that the Lord is looking for those who seek God and seek the kingdom of God. It says, "For they will be comforted." The next one is a hard one for me. It's the gentle will be blessed. And that's a key attribute of people who seek the kingdom of God. Not known as a very gentle person.
You're very gentle.
I've got a new grandbaby, so I think he's probably impacting that quite a bit. He's making me more gentle. But the gentle, people who are abrasive, who are hurting other people, who are going out and, you know, you think about the unrest in our country right now, where there's so many people being injured. There's so many violent acts taking place. That's not an attribute of the kingdom of God, because people who seek the kingdom of God, you know, are gentle. The next one is those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be blessed as well. Hunger and thirsting for righteousness. You know, I get hungry if I skip a meal. You know, it's really sad. I consider an extended fast just skipping lunch, you know, and that's a terrible thing. But if we are hungering and thirsting the same way we do after food, if we're doing that for righteousness' sake, that's a completely different deal, isn't it? Missing a meal is not a big deal. But if we can grasp the idea that we need to hunger and thirst for righteousness, you know, now part of that is hungering and thirsting for Jesus' righteousness to fill us, because we get the righteousness of God. But part of that also is that we are to live in a righteous manner. And this is key for living missionally. How can we live in an unrighteous manner? How can we be not godly people and expect to live missionally. It just doesn't even make sense, does it? But if we are just hungry, if we are focused on righteousness, then that's the type of person who is seeking the kingdom of God. The next one is the merciful will be blessed, for they will be shown mercy. You know, that right there, just that little phrase is enough for me to want to really be merciful, because I definitely want to be shown mercy. And so if I show mercy to people, if I'm a merciful person, then I will be shown mercy. And I think that is a wonderful way for us to be energized to do that. Mm-hmm. I know some people say, well, that's not the right reason to do it. Well, that is the way God set it up. So if there's a problem here, you need to take it up with him, right? Because he says that this is the equation. You show mercy and you will be shown mercy yourself. And so I think I really want to be a merciful person. And that has to look like something. We understand what it looks like when God shows us mercy, because mm-hmm. we mess up and he shows us mercy, right? But what about the people who are hungry and you feed them? Boy, that's showing mercy, isn't it?
Mm.
What about the people who don't have a job and you provide them with a job, or don't have access to clean water and you provide them with clean water? Those are great examples of how we can show mercy to people in spite of themselves. It doesn't, mm-hmm. you don't just give food to people who are nice back to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You give food because they're hungry. That's the whole impetus. So showing people mercy is an attribute of somebody who will who is seeking the kingdom of God. The next one is pure in heart. You know, we all know people who are pure in heart. Maybe it's our grandmother who we look at and we think, my goodness, she's such a pure person. But being pure in heart, just not having sin, not having anger, not having tension in our heart, that really spills out onto our face a lot of times, right? Mm-hmm. You can sort of see a peaceful, pure person by the expression on their face. And it says they will see God. If you have a pure heart, you will see God. What a wonderful expression of those who seek the kingdom of God. It says the peacemakers will be blessed, and they will be called sons of God. That's another great impetus for us to be peacemakers. There's so much strife in the world today. People that are just very angry with each other, whether it's politically, whether it's racially, for whatever reason it is. We who are seeking the kingdom of God need to be known as peacemakers. We're coming into a situation, we're bringing peace, we're bringing resolution. You know, this next one, the last one in this list, says those who are persecuted for righteousness are blessed, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And they're persecuted for righteousness. That's a different type of persecution, isn't it? Isn't that an amazing thought, to think that we could be persecuted for righteousness? Not persecuted because we've robbed a bank. Not persecuted because of, you know, our skin color, but persecuted because we are righteous. And this is another hallmark of people who are seeking the kingdom of God. So I think if we can grasp these facets of what somebody looks like when they are living missionally, these are aspects that we need to incorporate into our lives so that we can be people who live missionally. And all of these, I think, are very important.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think as we're looking at these attributes of people who are living missionally, who want to live missionally, looking for attributes that help us or allow us to seek the kingdom of God, I think is vitally important. We can also look at this from another point, because I think this passage in the Sermon on the Mount also talks about what people look like who build their own kingdom, right? So if we can either seek the kingdom of God or we can seek our own kingdom, then we have to look a certain way to seek our own kingdom, don't we? And, you know, one of the things that's often true of the Lord, and is certainly true in this case, is this is a binary decision. You either seek the kingdom of God or you seek your own kingdom. That's just that simple. There's no in between. There's not a middle of the road. There's not another way we can do it. We seek God's kingdom or we seek our own kingdom. And Jesus makes it very clear in this passage that there's just one way to do this. And we don't get to come up with it. That's one of the things about Jesus' lessons is we just don't have a whole lot of input. Now, we think we should because, you know, we're such wonderful people. But he's got this pretty well nailed down, and we don't really get a lot of input. And so we say, well, I don't want to be poor in spirit, right? I don't want to do that. My goodness, I want to be rich. I want to build my own kingdom. I want to have nice houses. I want to have nice cars. I want to live like a king, which is more true than we realize, because there are a lot of people today, even in the middle class, who live better than the kings of our history did. I mean, you look at some of the French kings and the English kings, they didn't live nearly as well as many of us do. And so living like a king is not much of a stretch. we sort of think it is, but it really isn't. But, you know, the thing that I think is important is that we realize that we can do one or the other, but we can't do both. And people who are trying to build their own kingdom have a certain look as well. The problem is it's the opposite of what people look like when they're seeking the kingdom of God. And he gives an example of what people look like who are not seeking the kingdom of God. And he actually gives a specific people group who were doing it. And they're the Pharisees. He came down pretty hard on the religious leaders of the day, right? I'm afraid many of our religious leaders today would fit in that same category. It's a hard thing to say, but I'm afraid it may be more true than we'd like to think. And he says in verse 20 of chapter 5, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees," we could just insert, "unless your righteousness surpasses that of the religious leaders of the day, you will never enter the kingdom of God." And then he goes through sort of a list of things that are showing the binary, the either or way that we can seek the kingdom of God or seek our own kingdom. He says, you know, you've heard it in the past. The law says, do not murder. But I say, you can't even be angry with your brother. Right? And so people who are seeking the kingdom of God, we don't have the luxury of living in a way where we're angry with our brother. We must forgive our brother, right? Those who are seeking their own kingdom, they have that luxury. They can be angry. So you know angry people, people who are just very difficult to deal with, those are not people who will be able to live missionally. He even goes on and talks about adultery. In the law, adultery was against the law. But he raises the bar so much higher than the Ten Commandments. He raises it above the law, and he says, but you can't even look at a woman lustfully. So you can't. That's a high bar, much higher than adultery. And he goes on and on. He says, you know, the law says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you, don't resist an evildoer. On the contrary, if someone slaps you on your right cheek, turn him the other as well. So here we are in a situation. The law said, well, if somebody knocks out my tooth, then I get to knock out his tooth, right? And so Jesus raises the bar even higher. And he says, for those of you who want to seek the kingdom of God, if you get assaulted, you don't resist. That's a hard thing, isn't it? It's a very hard thing to do. He also talks about loving our enemies. This is a difficult thing. You know, if we, before we were told we just need to love our friends and our family. And that's obviously true. But he says, I'm going to raise the bar even higher. And you've got to love your enemies as well, because there's a reward in that. So those of us who want to live missionally and seek the kingdom of God, it gets harder and harder to do that, because he sets the bar so high. Fortunately, we have the Holy Spirit, right, who continues to cleanse us and wash us in the holiness of Jesus, and gives us the power to pursue Jesus with everything that we have.
That's so good. Thankfully, Jesus is very patient.
Right. Isn't that the truth?
This isn't a one-day transformation.
So. not in the least.
Oh, that's so good.
So one of the things that he says that I think is just very, very challenging, especially in today's world, is he talks about possessions. And our focus on possessions will really determine our ability to live missionally. Mm-hmm. If we are seeking God's kingdom, then he says, don't seek your possessions, right? He says, don't collect things. Don't try to get rich. He even says that the rich are burdened with many, many cares, and that there are many problems that are inherent with the rich. And today, oftentimes, that's the way we determine our church leaders, right? Mm-hmm. The wealthy, those who've done well in business, perhaps they're doctors or lawyers, and that's how we wanted to. That's how we determine who is our church leader. When in all actuality, the possessions that we seek and that we have really define which kingdom we're seeking. If we were seeking God's kingdom, then those possessions have no place with us. Mm-hmm. And he tells us to live simply and to not collect treasures on earth, is the way that he says that. If we collect treasures on earth, then that's the treasure we have. If we collect treasures in heaven, then we have an everlasting treasure. Jesus says that our heart follows our treasure. And you know, that's exactly right. And if we want to have a heart for God, then we cannot have a heart for treasure, for collecting things, for material things. And so if we want to live missionally, that is sort of a Spartan existence. You know, this is something that that people don't like. But living missionally means that we can move when we're called to move. Very easily. If we have a lot of possessions, that becomes very difficult, doesn't it? If we have things that are very important to us that we don't want to leave, then it makes it very difficult for us to live missionally. Because the one who determines where we are when we're living missionally is the Lord. Mm-hmm. And the Lord may say, I want you in Israel. I want you in Haiti. I want you in Mozambique. If we have lots of possessions, that's going to be a very difficult transition. And so focusing on material possessions makes it very, very difficult for us to live missionally. Living in a way that is Spartan, living in a way that we can move, we don't have a lot of possessions that are getting in our way, I think is the way that we can live missionally and seek the kingdom of God. One last thing is Jesus tells us not to worry. Tells us not to worry. Honestly, when somebody told me not to worry, that didn't help me a whole lot. It didn't solve anything for me. So I understand that, but you just think about what do we do? We worry. We have anxiety So many people have anxiety. But Jesus says, don't worry about what you're going to wear. Well, what do? Every morning, we worry about what we're going to wear, right? He says, don't worry what you're going to eat. What do? You know, big discussions. What are we going to have for dinner tonight, right? He says, I will supply these things to you. This is the verse that we started out with. When we seek first the kingdom of God, all of these things will be given to you. So when we have anxiety, we're just saying we're not depending upon the Lord to provide. And he says, I really need you to depend on me to provide. It's not our business to provide for ourselves. That's the Lord's business. And when we trust in him, when we focus on his kingdom, when we focus on living missionally, we will not have anxiety. We won't have worry. We won't worry about what we're going to eat. We won't worry about what we're going to wear. We won't worry about our safety. Mm-hmm. We won't worry about whether we get sick or not, because we know that the Lord is there and he's taking care of us. And so I think this is a very big part of living missionally, is the concept of not having worry. People say to us all the time, don't you worry about your safety? I mean, you're in dangerous places. You're working in Mozambique. You're working in Haiti. You're working in Israel. Don't you worry about that? And we absolutely do not. We just don't have that concern for our safety because we know the Lord will take care of us, right? Now, we may die, right? That we fully expect to die doing mission work. That's probably what will happen. But that's not a cause for anxiety, right? Because our death is a win. That means we get to be with the Lord, and that's great. And this world is not where we're really dug in. We don't, you know, not having a home is makes it pretty easy. But worry, I think, is one thing that really keeps us from living missionally. You know, the John 10:10 passage is sort of the hallmark passage for this series. And Jesus said he came to give life and give life abundantly. Well, he came to give that to us as well. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that will just detract from your life so much is worry. Mm-hmm. And so if we can, through the help of the Holy Spirit, through the washing and regeneration of the Holy Spirit, if we can learn to depend on God for everything and not worry, not be anxious, then living missionally will come a whole lot more naturally.
That's so good. Wow. Thank you. And what a great reminder to be aware of our heart and how we act towards people and how we are a reflection of Jesus that way. And so this was just really, really great. So thank you so much. And I'm excited to feel the conviction to apply this to my personal life on how to live missionally where I am. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me. You bet.
So good. Well, I would be remiss if we do not talk about this at the end of every episode, but you got a book.
Yes, we have a new book out, Outstanding. It's talking about living missionally is a lot of topics there. And so a lot of stories, just some great pieces that we've picked up along the way about working in the kingdom of God and what that looks like.
It's so good. I know I'm a little biased, but it's wonderful. So if you want to check out Dr. Vanderpool's new book, Live Beyond, A Radical Call to Surrender and Serve. You can find it on our website or you can check it out on Amazon. It's great. I highly recommend it. Buy it for all your friends. but if you want to learn a little bit more about Live Beyond, you can go online to livebeyond.org to see what we're doing, how we're working in Haiti, and just the incredible things that the Lord is doing. So be sure to check us out. But thank you so much for coming and checking out episode 3 of our Living Missionally series. That is it for today. So go out and live beyond. We'll be right back.